Going to talk a short time this morning about the little things. You know, I'm probably the world's worst about being able to see the negative in anything that we do or anything that we see. We look at what's going on in society and we think how bad it is, how mistreated we are, and how things ought to be just a lot different. You know, when you think about that, you think about all the exhortation that's given to us in the scriptures, and we think about those things, you know, we think, I know every one of those. How come it's so hard to see the positive in things? And probably the more accurate statement there is not that we know all of them, but that we know enough to know better. And we think about these things. We think about letting our light shine, as we see here in Matthew 5 and 14. It occurs to me, what qualifies as letting your light shine? What do we do to show others that we have a respect for Christ and we have a desire to live our lives after the example that He set? What would it take in order to do that? Let's read there in chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp to put under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Think about those that don't have a profession for Christ or have never been exposed to Christ. How is that going to happen for these individuals? You know, probably all they know about it is that you've got this black book that sits on a lot of people's lampstands, and they claim that they follow their lives after it. But that doesn't mean a whole lot to me because I've had no exposure to that whatsoever. How is that individual supposed to see Christ and see God living through others if we don't let our light shine? You know, too many times we get stuck in that rut of negativity. And people see that and they see that we profess Christ in our lives. Yet we see the negative in every situation. Probably the most guilty of that here. That's not what He expects of us. So we want to talk a little bit this morning about the little things that we do in our lives. And since I've been guilty of looking around and seeing all these different things that I think are so negative, I thought it'd be a good time to stop and sit back and possibly look at some individuals that I've encountered in my life and see the positive things that they've done. Not to lift them up in any way, but to show that it can be done. And people have an expectation of us if we're going to profess Christ in our lives. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know, that's a pretty heavy burden right there, isn't it? Or to call it a burden is probably not the right word, but that's pretty high expectation that we look on our fellow man in that way. You know, we can say we love God, and that's easy for us to do because that's what we plan to live our lives after. It's what God would want from us. But when we turn that to our fellow man, oftentimes that's not as easy, is it? We look at the different things that we deal with in life, and we deal with different individuals, and they have different personalities, and sometimes that can be a problem for us, can't it? But we have expectations that we will deal with our fellow man in a certain way. You know, the people in this room are not the only people that are our neighbors. It's easy for me to come here and be nice to you or uplift you. That's an easy task, you know. We have love for one another. But if you get outside of these walls and you get with different individuals in society, you know, sometimes their goals aren't our goals. Their mindset isn't our mindset. And sometimes that's not easy. But I think as we've seen, you know, if we're to love our neighbor, we have to get past that. I recall one individual talking about people that I've been exposed to. I worked for this guy back in college, and I guess he had most of the state of Texas as a chemical representative. And, you know, I had the opportunity to travel with him for a lot. He had his faults, and that, you know, that's one thing. But one thing you did know about this guy was he had an honest care for those that were around him. You know, it didn't matter what he was doing. If he saw someone that needed assistance with something, that needed help with something, he'd stop what he was doing and he would help that individual. You know, we think that may be a small thing for to see somebody. Maybe you have a woman there that's trying to gather her things and she's carrying a small baby. We think that is very small. But you know, I think if you've ever had children, or maybe you women can relate to that, that's a big task when you're by yourself and you've got to do that. That sounds like a really small thing. But to those individuals that are helped by someone that don't even know them, that makes an impression on them. In Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 24, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." You know, we often think of provocation as a negative thing, and if you read this verse, this is actually from the New King James. If you read it from the King James Version, it actually uses that word, provoke. We think provoke is a negative thing. You know, you think about children playing and you know, you get onto one of them and they say, well, it was his fault. You know, they're saying, he provoked me. We think of that as a negative thing. But this verse here talks about us being able to provoke people to good works. You know, it's interesting that when you see those things in society and you see one person that does something good and somebody sees that, it provokes them to do something themselves, and on and on. We can be a part of that. You know, I'm convinced in any relationship, if both individuals concentrate on the needs of the other, there's nothing they can't overcome. Now, I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about friendships, whatever. As long as you're concerned about the other's needs, then there's nothing you can't overcome. The problem is, it becomes about what my needs are and what my wants are. And in those relationships, suddenly it becomes about me wanting somebody to serve me more than it is me wanting to have a relationship with that person. Too many times we see that happen. And what was once a good relationship, and we've seen friends split, we've seen family split, we've seen all kinds of these things happen because of that. You know, it comes down to being able to fulfill those needs and do those small things, or what may seem small in a lot of people's eyes. In 1 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You know, I saw a show one time where they set up these different scenarios, and they go out in society and they film it and they see how people react to these different things. And it's interesting to see, you know, you may have somebody that's carrying an armload of something and they drop it. And you have all these onlookers, you know, noticing what's going on there. Some may snicker, you know, somebody fell down, it was kind of funny. You know, some may try to ignore it. But then you'll have, every now and then you'll have these individuals that hurry over and try to help that person. Hurry over and try to save them some embarrassment, whatever the case is. But it's funny to notice as they go through this, when that one person steps up, how other people react to that. You know, the ones that were snickering or laughing, you know, that kind of stops. The ones that tried to ignore that situation, you know, suddenly they show a little more interest. It's funny how that kind of thing is contagious. And that's something that we need to know. For that individual that doesn't know Christ, that just, all he knows about it is a black book that sits on a table somewhere in people's houses, that's where they'll see that. That's where they will come in contact with Christ, through our lives, through the light that shines through us. In Proverbs 11 and verse 27, it says, "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil." You know, the individual that steps up in those instances makes an impression on the others that are around. And what seems to be a small thing suddenly becomes larger, because the person they help is grateful and the others around at least consider that they could have assisted that person, that they could have made a difference in somebody's life. And that's what we can learn from that, that what we do matters. It matters a lot. Even though it may seem like some small thing, it matters in people's lives. You know, we're fortunate to live in a part of the country that's more friendly, I guess you could say. You know, I've been to a lot of parts in the country that aren't that way. People would just ignore you, you know, not my problem, no matter what happens. But we've seen differences in what, in different disasters. I mean, if you look at the disaster in Houston, you see how many people came to those people's aid. If you look at the fires that were around here, how many people sent aid up to this part of the country? You don't necessarily see that in every area of the United States, much less the world over. You know, I was living in North Carolina for a short time, and I worked with a girl. She wasn't much older than me at the time. I was just finishing college. And she turned to me one time after we'd been traveling and we'd talked to a bunch of people. She said, "Why are you so nice to people you don't even know?" That was odd to her. You know, she had come from Chicago, a town that's kind of known for that. I didn't act any different than many of you would have. I didn't act any different than any of you act right here in our own community. But that was so foreign to her that I might say please or thank you or those types of things. We're not talking about big things. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm trying to make a point that something so little stands out in people's minds anymore. Because they don't have time. They don't have time for their fellow man. They don't have time for the different things and the different needs that people have. That's an opportunity for us. An opportunity to be involved in people's lives. In Luke 6 and verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." You know, when we deal with others in the right way, they have a greater respect for us. You know, too many times this verse is misused and to say that, you know, if you do good, then you're going to get all of this worldly wealth. And that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about dealing with your fellow man. I think of a situation, one time at work, I was going to some guys that wrote software, and I had some changes that I need on some software we were using. And I go in there, and the guy that I normally deal with, he's sat back in his chair, and he's normally a really positive person. And he's just staring at the ceiling, and I ask him, "What's going on, you know?" And he said somebody had just come in there and said that they needed something. He said, "There's my project list right there," and I guess it was 10 items long, you know. And this certain individual came in and said, "Hey, where are you on that project?" And he said, "Well, I'm not quite finished." And all she said was, "Well, what have you been doing?" You know, that's not the way to deal with somebody. Each and every one of us have a certain number of things we have to get done. And certainly if we treat people that way, then we're going to go to the bottom of the list. And I'm not saying we should manipulate people to get what we want out of them. I'm saying we should treat people in a certain way. In a way that's pleasant. In a way that's loving toward one another. Because we do have that opportunity to show that through our behavior and through our actions. And also through our reactions, how we react to things. 1 Timothy 6, excuse me. Looks like I skipped one. You know, we haven't talked about the use of possessions. I wanted to concentrate on things we can all do. Yeah, I went to visited a congregation one time, and a guy stood up and he was talking about helping others, and I thought it was a good lesson. But he made one statement in there that I had to disagree with. He made the statement that if you're going to help somebody at some point, it is going to cost you financially. And I do not believe that. I believe there are so many other needs that can be met from each and every one of us. We don't have to have wealth to help individuals. There are things to be done. And I'm not beating up this person. I think they're a good person. I think they have a good heart. I think if you looked at that person, you would see that they lived in a way that they were to live to help others. But I did have to disagree with that one statement. Because there are so many things that we can do. There are so many opportunities. There are so many things that get left undone. Because there's nobody to step up into that spot. Sometimes letting our light shine comes from what we don't do. I had another individual that I dealt with pretty often in a past job. And he was just an all-out nice guy. I mean, this is just a guy that if you ever saw him once, he was your best friend. He never had a bad word to say about anybody. He was just that guy, just positive to the core. And you couldn't help but like being around him. And when you were around him, you just felt good about what you were doing. If you were working on something with him, you felt good about what you were doing there. You know, sometimes you would get in these conversations. You know, we worked in an environment where you just had a lot of people there. Out in this part of the country, you know, you may work 2-3 people, maybe in a school 50, 60. But we worked in centers where there might be 2,000 people there. Had a lot of people there. Had a lot of different, you know, opinions on different people. And sometimes you'd get in situations and I didn't know, he worked in Atlanta, I worked in Lubbock, so I didn't know a lot of the people there. But when I was there, you know, you'd get in these situations and there would be people in a room or something and it seemed like they would start talking about somebody. They'd be talking about all the negative things about this certain individual. And like I said, I don't know who they were. But Anthony, he would pop up and he'd start pointing out all the positive things about them. You know, that silenced that conversation. That changed the whole environment. You know, I noticed that and that made an impression on me. That's something that each and every one of us could do something similar in that way. Not to join in on that type of thing, but to silence that type of thing, like the scripture says. In Proverbs 10 and 18, it says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You know, I remember one time I called this guy, and I was having a problem with some individuals getting certain things done. And the worst he would say about them, because he had had dealings with them too, and I guess it wasn't good for him either. The worst he would actually say about these people, and I wasn't trying to get him to say anything bad, the worst he said was, you'll have to stay on top of them. That's it. There was nothing else. Not that they don't do their job, they can't get anything right, they're incompetent, none of that. He simply said, you'll have to stay on them. And I mean, that spoke volumes for this guy. When that's the way we conduct ourselves, our words mean so much more. And people notice those types of things. In Psalms 34 and 13, it says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You know, that's great advice whether you're striving to be a Christian or not. As members of society, resisting the urge to rail on someone is a small thing that can be respected when people see that in our lives. You know, as Christians, we know from the latter part of Romans that resisting that urge is expected. And when we yield to that urge, we place ourselves on a list of very evil things. We'll read that shortly. In Romans 1 and 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. You know, that's a very wicked list. That's not a list we want to be on, but you've got a couple of things in there that people don't seem to think much about when we experience that. It's in the same list. Hopefully we don't make that mistake. Hopefully we rise above that. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, everybody in this room, at one time or another, will be a role model. You will be. Somebody will look at your life and they'll make a decision. I want to be like that person, or I want to be the opposite of what that person is. We need to strive to be that person that leads people to say, what is different about him? What is different about her? How come they make the decisions they make? How come they deal and react the way that they do? What is it in their life that makes that appealing to them? Because it's easy. The world has very low expectations of us. You know, for us to trade evil for evil, for us to have that person that we don't necessarily like, the world isn't going to object to that. But they notice when you don't react that way. We see more and more that role models from the past are no longer good models. Certain labels such as athlete, coach, teacher, police officer don't automatically make someone a good role model, do they? We've seen every one of those in the news lately in a negative way. Being one thing doesn't necessarily make us another. And we have to realize that because we will be a role model to someone at some point. It may be your kids. It may be your parents. It may be your boss. It may be your coworkers. Someone is going to look at you at some point and make a decision based on that. And it may be a split decision, a very quick decision based on your actions or your reactions. As Christians, we're expected to be positive role models. Timothy 2 verses 1 through 8, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience, the older women likewise that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded on all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Much of what we read sounds like good characteristics, things that we would want in a role model. And if our loved ones are going to look up to someone, we want them to possess these qualities, don't we? If I want my kids to look up to someone, I want them to have those qualities, don't I? I want them to possess the qualities that God would have in us if my kids are going to look up to them. Not but just because they can throw a ball, not because they can make a tackle, because they're the right person for them. In Proverbs 3 and verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." What's interesting here is that it says we also find favor with man. That's what we're talking about this morning. You know, we're pleasing to God, and that's our ultimate goal. But man is the same way. They look at those things and they see things that are different. God wanted a peculiar people, a people that were different from what everybody else was. And it's obvious when you see these people in our society and in our communities. Don't ever think that what you do is unimportant or that it doesn't affect anyone else. You know, that statement right there is funny to me. We say, well, I do things and it doesn't affect anybody else. The choices I make don't affect anybody. But you think of all the different scenarios where that statement couldn't be further from the truth. What about the drug addict that's in the ER with his mother sitting in the waiting room, wringing her hands, wondering what she's going to do about that situation? Do those decisions affect anyone else? They do, don't they? The decisions we make affect those around us. And the ones that we claim to love, whether it be our family, our friends, whoever's in our life, the decisions we make matter. We have to make those right decisions. We've seen from the study that the little things can make a big difference. In Proverbs 14 and 9, it says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright, there is favor. You know, everything negative these days seems to be presented as no big deal. It's no big deal. Whatever you want to do, it's no big deal. Like I said, expectations are low. We can fall into the trap of saying that. You know, I want to do what I want to do, it's no big deal. I don't want to make the right decision, that's no big deal. Things are a big deal. We need to understand that. We need to live our lives in that way. And don't let society, who has such low expectations, set that for us. You know, there may be a time in our lives when we have the opportunity to have a good influence on someone's life, to be that role model to somebody. We need to make the right decisions so that it's a positive influence on them. If that time comes, remember, it's no small thing. The things that you do in your life And the examples that you set can make a huge difference in people's lives. It can cause them to have a better life. Maybe they make that one decision based on what they've seen in your life that changes them. I'm sure Kenneth has seen that 1,000 times. Teachers, coaches, things that he's done made a difference in someone's life. It happens. Don't think that those days are over. That continues to be the case. When we have positive influences in our lives, look at any study. It will show that positive influences beget positive outcomes. And remember that. Don't think that what we do doesn't matter. Don't think for a second that anything we do is no big deal, because it is a big deal. These are the things that I've prepared for this morning. I hope they're helpful. I hope that you received them in the way that I'd planned, in a positive way. The last thing we need is more negativity. We have plenty of that. We see it every day. And I'm not saying we don't need to teach on those things. I think we do. But we've got to look around us and see the positive. You know, we may be that person that says, I look at the scriptures and I know every one of them. All the positive scriptures I know. But I still can't look out in society and see one good thing. We've got to have a positive outlook. We can't make it in this world if we don't. God's never promised us an easy life. He hasn't. He's told us if you'll do what he says, then you'll have an easier life. But he's never said it will be easy. We will always face things in this life. And we can do it better if we do it together and we make good decisions and we know that others are watching us and expecting us to react the way that God would have us to.